You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, and editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday, Amuses Thursday, where the Pelicans don't actually have a game for, I believe, the first time in 2 years. Definitely a good thing with Carnival and Mardi Gras season rolling throughout New Orleans. Also not a good thing was the rain for the Pelicans yesterday that kind of dampened the parades a little bit and also apparently caused a leak in the Smoothie King Center, causing the game against the Indiana Pacers to be postponed after almost a two-hour delay. That's an interesting one. We're going to talk a little bit about that because the Pelicans seem like they were going to actually do something rather interesting in this matchup as they head towards the trade deadline, which is today, by the way, and the All-Star break. We're going to talk about what was going on and what maybe would have happened in the game last night had it not been for the postponement. We will make some jokes about the floor being wet and the tarp they had and the setup to contain the water as opposed to fix the leak. We'll have some fun with that. We'll look at the trade deadline, which is coming up this afternoon, which is expected to be kind of quiet. We'll talk about how that maybe all of that affects the Pelicans throughout the league. And then we'll just kind of wrap up with whatever we need to in the final segment. Don't really have a plan for... I do. There was another thing I wanted to talk about. We got to talk about the Forbes rankings, the valuations of the all-pro franchises, but particularly the NBA. Where do the Pelicans stand in that? What's it mean, if anything? So we'll cover all those are the three things we're touching on in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So last night's game against the Indiana Pacers was delayed due to a small leak in the roof of the Smoothie King Center, which allowed rain to drip down and gather near the free throw line, and it delayed the game for an hour and 43 minutes before an official postponement was declared due to player safety concerns. So I think the Pelicans had a good plan here of you can't lose if you can't play, or if you don't play, I guess is maybe the right word. But that was definitely a surreal experience, which was also kind of sparsely populated, I guess, crowd-wise, because of the parades and the rain. It was just a nasty day yesterday in New Orleans. They canceled the game mainly because the water had soaked into the floor by that point, causing it to warp a little bit. That's where you don't want someone to slip and fall or trip on an uneven surface or a slick surface. That's how player injuries happen and not what you want to see at all. And that's definitely a scary thing. So this is probably the correct move to try and postpone the game and find another time to make it up. The way they tried to contain this leak, and it was contained, not fixed, that's kind of the key thing here. It rained most of the night, or at least until around midnight here in New Orleans, so that could have been a big problem. They put a tarp up underneath where the leak was coming from, and basically had then like a hose attached to it for the water to drip into the hose and then divert it away from the court. So it was contained, not fixed. So interesting. The Pelicans don't own or operate the Smoothie King Center, but of course they have a big hand with everything in that. I think it's SMG who runs it, though I'm not entirely sure, because that's not stuff we really need to care about. And no, normally, except when it does start to leak. So the hose attached to the tarp, and they're going to basically, I don't know, just be emptying it, like buckets bailing everything out. At one point, there was an announcement for an announcement, which is always fun when they say, hey, coming up in a little bit, we want to announce that we're going to be making an announcement. And finally, at 8:43 p.m., they postponed the game. So it's disappointing on a lot of levels, but at least the Pelicans don't get their loss here. However, you know, this was going to be an interesting matchup. One, because the Pacers are reeling with some injuries, though it did come out that Victor Oladipo was going to be playing. Their starting point guard, Darren Collison, was out. They've got some other injuries there as well. The interesting move for the Pelicans, though, was DeAndre Liggins would be starting in place of Rajon Rondo. So the Pelicans mixing it up as they sit in eighth in the playoff race, still just a half game above the Clippers from being out of the playoffs right now. So Liggins coming in maybe for some more defense. We've seen Rondo in his rotations plays the first and third, not really the second or fourth, though the Boogie injury has kind of forced more minutes upon him. But first and third, we've seen the defense be absolutely terrible coming out of the break. So maybe that was what they were hoping to do, just get some more defense out there. Liggins, who could space the court a little bit. Versus where on offense, Rondo has usually no defender on him once he's on the perimeter. Once he gets towards the paint, they put someone on him, basically daring him to shoot, which he's been doing a pretty good job of so far this year. Liggins kind of would have the same problem. Maybe this just puts the ball in Drew Holiday's hands a little bit more, gives him more responsibility. He's been playing incredibly, incredibly well so far this year. Really, after that first month or two he had, that was rather rough. So it would have been interesting to see Drew Holiday just try and do his thing, run this offense, kind of maybe play a two-man game with Davis, throw in Mirotić and each one more, and it's not the worst, you know, maybe. So this would have been interesting to see. This would have been a good game to test it out against a banged-up Indiana team. But unfortunately, due to weather and some ineptitude maybe, and I was watching the local news last night after this all went down, saying the roof is about 19 years old, but SMG, it is SMG, official said a couple years ago, they put in multiple millions of dollars, or it was, I think, like a lot of money was the quote, a lot of money to fix some of the leaks and everything in the roof. So I don't know how much that worked, but due to the leak in the roof, we didn't get to see this new lineup in action. Don't forget, check out LockedOnPelicans.com for all of the Pelicans info you could ever need. Covering the trade deadline, what's going on around the league, because this is going to tie in a little bit to the next segment. Alex Harari's got a post up there right now talking about how you've got to kind of still plan for the future and make some moves now with a couple of years down the line a little bit, because the salary cap situation for most teams is going to be pretty ugly next season. Give it a read over at LockedOnPelicans.com. So the trade deadline is today. Before we talk about that, don't forget to donate to the GoFundMe for Leonce T. Bailey, the usher in the Smoothie King Center, one of those guys that makes the experience a whole lot of fun. We're going to be doing the raffle and the drawing for tickets later today, so get your chance in there. Every $10 gets you one entry, so if you throw in $30, you're going to get three entries. There's two chances to win tickets. I will watch the game with you the entire time if you want. We'll have fun. We'll talk basketball, maybe let you get some secret inside info. You'll get the newest album from Vox and the Hound, the band, the local indie band here in New Orleans who does the intro and outro music for Locked On Pelicans. You'll also get maybe like 30 seconds or so of airtime. I'm not going to let you guys run wild here on Locked On Pelicans. We'll record it there where you can say your piece about the team. So all in all, a lot of good reasons to donate and do some good and just help someone who get back on his feet who lost everything he owned due to a fire. So trade deadline and the wheels are turning around the league. This is expected to be a slower and less exciting trade deadline than last season, which did bring DeMarcus Cousins here to New Orleans, but no other real big trades as well. And likely the Blake Griffin trade was going to be the biggest of the bunch, and that's already happened. But moves do get done today, and certainly the Pelicans are going to be trying to get something accomplished. I mentioned James Ennis III yesterday with Memphis potentially coming to New Orleans. That would be a good fit. There's some salary on the team here that works, and a second-round pick would likely get it done. Don't forget maybe about Kyle O'Quinn over in New York. This is a big who rebounds, plays defense, tries to block some shots. That's all you really need for another big here in New Orleans to maybe replace some of the production that DeMarcus Cousins gave you. So that's a guy to keep in mind, particularly with Kristaps Porzingis being done for the year with a torn ACL in his knee. Torn knee ligament, I don't know if it actually is an ACL, and being out for the rest of the season, likely a chunk of next year as well. They already traded Willie Hernan Gomez to Charlotte. Charlotte, who's trying to just collect as many bigs as possible for two second-round picks. So they're certainly open to moving people and potentially shedding a little bit of salary as well in the process. So keep that name in mind, those two names in mind, as we head towards this trade deadline, because those things do affect the Pelicans, and they want to get another player or two in here. They'd also like a guard, though I don't think there's really anyone realistic out there right now on the trade market. Maybe after the buyouts happen, but again, guard's going to be kind of light, and I think that's why you're seeing the Pelicans roll with DeAndre Liggins here in the starting lineup to get him some experience, because I don't know if they think they're going to get anyone better than that elsewhere. So you may as well test him out and see if what you got here is something that works. A guard who's not going to be on the trade market, at least this year, and this was interesting, this came out yesterday, that the Clippers are re-signing Lou Williams to a three-year deal, the final year being a team option, for around $30 million total. He's going to make about $8 million per season, with the final year of his contract guaranteed for like $1 million or $1.5, something like that. Under three, basically. Kind of an Omer Oshik-esque type of deal. This is a heck of a signing for the Clippers, by the way. So this says they're likely not blowing it up and not tanking. Don't expect to see DeAndre Jordan move, even though he's been linked to the Wizards, the Bucks, and one or two other teams around the league. I think they're content to maybe let him expire and not re-sign him, and then make a playoff push the rest of this year, which is bad news for the Pelicans, because that's the team that's currently hottest on their heels in the 9 spot, only a half game back. You know, Lou Williams is, what, 30, 31, and it's kind of surprising to give him like a big money deal at, you know, that age. However, $8 million's really good. That's, you know, not even the full non-taxpayer mid-level exception. There's a money crunch around the league next season. That big free agent offseason of 2 years ago has put the hurt on a lot of teams, all that overspending, who thought the salary cap was going to continue to rise and rise and rise, and it hasn't. And it's leading to this type of situation. That's one of the reasons why the Pelicans locking down Mirotić for $12.5 million next year, I think, is a very good thing. One, there's not going to be players of his caliber out there, and they're just getting a guy under contract right now that you can then trade later on into a team who can't sign him outright with cap space is definitely a very good thing. This is going to have impacts around the rest of the league, too. The reason Boston's looking to potentially trade Marcus Smart is they don't want to deal with him as a restricted free agent, though you have to figure that maybe he's not going to get all that much money anymore. Aaron Gordon's a big restricted free agent coming up with the Magic. He's not playing for them right now. They're saying due to injury. Really, I think it's safe to say, and I can say this, that it's likely because he is on the trade block, because they don't want to pay him in restricted free agency. And one of those teams that whiffs on everyone is going to have a little bit of money left over and offer him maybe not a max, but a good bit of money. Now, here's the thing with that. So there is a cash crunch coming up next year. So why is a team going to offer him a lot of money? It's one of these things where you don't trade for him right now, I think, and I think he's going to remain there. This is kind of a tangent. So the money's tight everywhere in the league. So why would you trade for an asset on a restricted free agent that you know isn't really going to command a lot of money out on the open market next year? Why even give up anything for him when you know teams aren't really going to be driving up the bidding for this player in Aaron Gordon, and you, let's call them the Mavs, which I would bet are the most likely team to sign him, maybe, can go out and just make an offer in restricted free agency, knowing that the Magic aren't going to match it, and that no other team really wants to pay this kind of money for a player like that. I think this is why you might see Marcus Smart go back on a one-year qualifying offer to the Celtics, because there isn't a ton of money out there. They don't want to take long-term below-market deals. And in 2019, the year after, is when things kind of open up a little bit more and teams are going to have some cap room and money to spend. And you might see some of these guys take short one-year kind of prove-it type deals this offseason, knowing that's coming up. That's why maybe LeBron, you know, signs a one-year deal somewhere then to get more money after that, or to go to a team that then has more cap space who can sign other people. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens at this trade deadline. But right now, teams are feeling the money crunch. They're trying to shed some salary, just like the Pelicans are, which could mean there is one or two bargains out there to be had. Hey, with the trade deadline approaching, don't forget to tune into the Locked On NBA podcast, once a week podcast that's going to be going to more than once a week soon. That's going to cover everything you need to know about what happened with the trade deadline, the ramifications around the league, and there's certainly going to be a lot of them. So make sure you tune in to the Locked On NBA podcast. So Forbes released the NBA team values for 2018, and there's some definitely interesting things in here. The first of which being every club in the NBA is now worth at least $1 billion. The average team is worth $1.65 billion, and that's 22%. It's a jump of 22% more than last year. Franchise values have tripled over the last 5 years. And this has a lot to do with its international growth and just kind of worldwide popularity, which Forbes says is the best out of any of the United States' four big professional leagues. So where do the Pelicans rank on this? And, well, they rank last, actually 30th in the NBA in valuation at, according to Forbes, $1 billion. They are 30th out of 30. 29 is Memphis, 28 is Charlotte, to give you kind of an idea. And Minnesota's in 27th with the Bucks at 26. So all kind of smaller market teams down towards the bottom, which, again, we kind of know and is no huge surprise here. But $1 billion is pretty good for the Pelicans and a nice return on the investment that Benson put into the team for about, we reported and what we think, $330 million just a couple of years ago. Not too bad whatsoever for him on that. Ownership and stability, that's a topic for another day, though I think you guys know I feel pretty safe with this for the next couple of years and don't see this team moving in the next at least five. After that, maybe we'll talk, but I think everything looks pretty good right now on the Pelicans front. You got to maybe feel for Mr. Gary Schwest, who wanted to buy the team from former owner George Shin before the NBA had to sweep in and buy it from him, and then still wanted to buy it and kept haggling the price down and down. I think he supposedly wanted it for $310 million, not $330. Arguing over that $20 million right now definitely doesn't sound like it was a good move when the team is valued at $1 billion and you could have sold it for a very healthy profit at this point in time. So the Pelicans had a revenue of $204 million, leading them to operating income of $37 million. That $37 million, usually after payroll expenses, all those kind of things, are earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. The taxes might hurt a little bit there. I don't know how much debt the team is carrying. It says a debt value percentage of 13%. 12%. That likely has to do with maybe the Ochsner Sports and Practice Performance Facility. The Pelicans Practice Facility might have that on there. The Pelicans might have taken some debt on to build that facility. Everything else looks pretty good, though. Their balance sheet looks, again, pretty good. We don't know some of the specifics of it. So that's a good thing, I guess, potentially for the Pels. But things look fairly healthy here. They still don't want to pay the luxury tax. The only team that lost money, according to Forbes, and again, these aren't necessarily specific things here, were the Cleveland Cavaliers, who did so basically because of payroll and being in the luxury tax year after year after year with LeBron James there. So that certainly isn't a good thing. The Cavs lost $6.2 million, $134 million payroll plus $25 million luxury tax penalty. That's a lot. There's some other teams that posted net losses with the Pistons and Bucks, and those are kind of one-time things with the new arena for the Pistons. And then the Bucks lost money due in part to the amortization of intangibles resulting from the 2014 purchase of the team. Sometimes those things are just like paper losses too. So, you know, it's not too bad for owners of an NBA team right now. And if you're Tom Benson, things look pretty good with your franchise being valued at $1 billion. Also then speaks kind of to the health of the team here. They're clearly making money. We don't know what it is with interest, taxes, all that. But again, $37 million is pretty good. If you turn a profit of $1 million, got to be pretty happy with that, I would assume, though I'm not the billionaire that Tom Benson is. But good things on the Forbes list for the Pelicans, even though they rank 30th in the league. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. No recap of the game due to everything being postponed. Trade deadline later today. Deadline to get your donations in to win some tickets. Watch a game with me if you want, or just take all four tickets by yourself. That's cool too. For the Leonce T. Bailey GoFundMe. Tomorrow we'll recap all the maybe aftermath of the trade deadline, if there really is anything. See if we get an update on the health of the Smoothie King Center. We don't want it being out for an extended period of time on the injured list. So we'll recap all of that and more in tomorrow's edition of Locked On Pelicans.